Weatherly Report
with Chris
and Kyle,
a podcast about making music
and book life.
What's up, man?
Oh, in the studio again, man.
That last part of the podcast intro, man, and life.
And life. That's been the last couple of weeks.
We've still managed to succeed in progressing with the projects that we're working on. They haven't come to a halt. We're still avidly working on them, which is a good thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's always, we've maintained forward progress, maybe not quite at the momentum that we would like, but we're maintaining, you know, forward momentum on everything as we go. So
right.
I'm pretty satisfied from that standpoint. It's been fucking crazy just with life shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, more than a year ago now, we set out a certain set of goals that we wanted to hit. And
Within a year. Yeah.
And we've hit all of them.
Dude, we nailed every single one of them, man.
You know, so this is... I think the thing is, and I think what we're feeling right now is, because we hit them, we're greedy and we wish we had gone a little farther by now.
Yeah.
Even though realistically we knew getting right where we are was about what we needed to do in a year.
Yeah.
But I think we're both going, God, if I just had one extra free day a week or something, we could be so much farther.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's what we're both feeling right now.
Because a lot of the work that we've done in the last year with building up the production studio, now we're actually having to put the work into it.
Yeah. We built it out and learned a lot doing our own album.
It gets a little monotonous.
But now we've been pounding out some stuff on other people's music. And
I really like the way that the mixes for Life of the Funerals tracks have come. Actually, I like listening to the songs while I drive.
Yeah, I do too.
I put them on.
I've become really
catchy. I've been thinking about order now of how to arrange the four songs.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely have to talk with them about that when we're with them next.
Sure. we'll talk to them.
Yeah. But
they've been awesome to work with.
It's been really cool because it's been a newer experience for them as far as working in the studio in this way.
Yeah. Yeah, you can definitely see the progression in them.
Yeah, in a more professional setting. They both recorded before, just not on any kind of scale.
Right.
So it's been a learning thing for them, but it's also been a learning thing for us because we have had to temper our own egos over the course of doing this because we went from writing an album where the only decision makers were you and I, whether something went on that record or not.
Yeah.
And now we're doing the same thing from a producer standpoint, but we have to keep in mind the intent of the artist.
Well, I think it's safe to say that mine and your egos are both pretty equally balanced.
Yeah.
I mean, they're fucking huge. Don't get me wrong. Our album sounds amazing. Actually, enough that I'm getting ready to start putting a bunch of posts up on Facebook and be like, all right, so who's listened to the album? No, who has actually listened to the album? Let me know, because I'm pretty sure I've listened to your shit.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think we're going to have to push pretty hard on that soon.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to do some mass...
Original music is hard, man.
I know. I'm going to do some mass messaging sessions where I send out literally a link to the album and a personal Facebook message to each and every person that in my friends list that I want to know has heard it.
Yeah. Well, I'm about to do it to my entire friends list, and then most of my friends list, I'm going to go through. I'm deleting like 90% of the people.
Yeah, well...
I've only added them.
The only reason I'm not going to do that is if I sent it to all of my friends list, there'd be about 500 pedal builders that would get our message. So, I just don't want to bombard businesses with that.
Yeah, that's true.
If I'm going to come at businesses from that perspective, then we're looking at it from the reviews, and that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
So, you link your music in the proposal for the reviews, but you don't just advertise your shit to them. That's different. Now, if it's the individual, like, owner of the company or something who I've talked to, I'll send it to that person, for sure. I've got several of those.
Yeah, those are all good tips.
Yep.
I don't think I have any. I got Kurt Mannion and Pig Hog.
Well, I mean, I did this for several years.
I've liked a bunch of stuff, but yeah. I don't have, like, the contacts from those people.
Right.
Like, I'm not friends with Kurt Mannion. You are.
I am. Yeah.
I know.
I've never talked to him. Don't get me wrong. Like, I've just friended him on Facebook and said, hey, I was like, literally, I messaged him. I was like, hey, I'm one of your artists. Friend request. You know, that was it. just complimented the strings. He'd never responded. He just accepted the friend invite, yeah. friend request. But yeah, I mean, there's like the guys from Schmidt Array, that mm-hmm. do my pedal boards. Like I know him. He and I talk all the time, actually. And Gerhat over in Latvia, I can send him stuff. He would love to hear it. Yeah. So those guys I would hit, but the majority of them I don't have that kind of relationship with.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot that goes into what we do. I mean, there's a lot of variables to consider, especially when reaching out to manufacturers. You definitely don't want to get into a position where you're doing things for competitors. I mean, it becomes conflict of interest, and most people walk away
well,
in a drop of a hat, I'd have to imagine.
And that's the reason that I didn't accept any sponsorships for the first year and a half that I did reviews.
So you wouldn't be exclusively locked into a specific company.
Yep. And then when I did, it was very specific things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there was two different pedal builders, but those pedal builders, one of them only had drive pedals. You know, there was no modulation yeah. or anything, so anything that in that realm Dr. I could J? Do. Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a compressor tube, that was it.
Yeah.
And there was no exclusivity thing to their contract, and that was a foreign builder versus domestic builders. I don't know that that works. Chris and I are trying to figure out something on the fly here, and we're going to make it happen like that. But anyway, so, you know, there wasn't a conflict at that point, so we're good to go. But
I wouldn't have done that.
That?
Yeah.
Why?
For the sake of a podcast, I would have just hit the space bar real quick.
Oh.
And then...
Well, we'll edit all that recording. Shit out anyway.
Oh, I know. Well, I've been
including this.
The last podcast. No, we shouldn't. The last podcast sounds amazing. I actually did a pretty good amount of editing on it.
Good.
I did cut out some sections. I did exactly everything you told me you didn't want to do when we first started the podcast. I figured episode 16 or 17 was a good time to wait.
I'm good with going that way. And I mean, if you want to take the time to edit them.
The outro sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I think it sounds really good.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So, all right. We diverge.
Anyway.
I don't know.
So, you know, we've come a long way with what we're doing with other artists, I think, at this point. And now, I think we both kind of fell into where we now understand how to deal with the artist perspective when we totally disagree.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been a pretty good learning experience for us, you know, over the last couple months.
And it's there's a phrase I always like to keep in my mind. It's not that it's wrong. It's just not the way you want it.
Yeah, which is wrong.
Yeah, which is wrong. So, you know, and that can be seen on either side.
Yeah.
So you have to go. There's art. There comes a point where you have to go. This is just the artist's intent, and that means we go this direction, yeah. And that's fine. And usually it's not that they're wrong. It's just that you would take a different approach. So that was a good learning experience. And, I mean, you get that even just working in a band scenario. But when you're not attached to the music going forward,
mm-hmm.
there's a different relationship to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I do feel like there were some situations where we were both pretty adamant that, you know, if you're going to do this, you kind of have to do this.
Right.
There are some certain rules and guidelines that you still need to follow as far as engineering and composition.
Well, and there are certain things that you just have to go.
You want, but
if you don't speak up at this, then you can't call yourself a producer.
Very much so.
I mean, there's a couple of those.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't that it was grotesquely off by any means in the artist's perspective. It was just that I believe in this point so fervently that I would do this differently, that I have to put that in front of the artist and say, have right. you considered?
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes they may say yes, and that's just not the way I wanted to take the music or whatever, and that's fine. But you have to be willing to speak up and have that cooperative relationship with the artist. It has to be reciprocated, too. They have to be open to it.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, you know, I mean, I think it's it's been a learning curve, but I like it now. It's actually kind of an interesting dance to get there now.
I'm ready to go back to the beginning and start again.
Yeah.
So I can do all the things differently that I caught throughout the process.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, that took way too much freaking time, or you would have gotten a better result if you had done this.
Yeah.
Especially because I did all the pre-tracking.
Yeah.
The only problem is that when we pre-tracked with them, a lot of the tempos changed. So yeah, we were kind of doing that on the fly. That's something that I've had the problem with that. Especially when I was writing with people that we weren't ever playing to a metronome or playing with the intent of recording, is that we would write songs with a ton of time changes. And when you actually sit down to start putting a metronome to it, you have a way, there's definitely a way of settling.
Right.
You know, you're like, okay, well, that's close enough. And then when you start building it out, and you're like, that tempo is completely wrong.
Yeah.
It needs to be 16 beats slower, or even I've come into the spot, I'm like, yeah, that's definitely 6 beats too fast.
Yeah.
And I will argue with anybody that 6 beats per minute too fast for a song is a big deal.
I agree. I totally
agree. I mean,
agree.
We went back and forth on one song, 4 beats per minute.
Yeah. I can go 6 beats slower than something should be any day of the week.
Yeah, you just sludge the fuck work. Out of it. Well, not the fuck out of it. It would be subtle. But
yeah, I can make that work all day long. 6 beat too fast means the pocket's rushed.
Yeah.
That's how I define it.
That's about when, what we do when we play Faded Blue live in the choruses.
We're
about 6 beats too fast.
I've seen a song.
Beats faster.
I've seen a song that you can't go 2 beats too fast and the pocket gets rushed.
Yeah. Well, especially when we play that live with just 2 acoustics,
yep.
The BPMs need to be faster. It needs to be faster.
The record is probably 6 to 8 beats slower than we play it.
I'd think a little bit more for that song.
Maybe 10.
Yeah, we might start out that way, and then we're probably down to like 4 beats per minute.
We don't even start there. We start 6 beats faster than the record every time.
Oh, absolutely.
And we end somewhere around 8 to 10 beats faster than the record.
Yeah.
But like I said, that's just one of the songs that once you hit that pocket threshold, you can't go over it.
Yeah.
If you go over it, the whole song falls apart.
Yeah, so we definitely had to, we did some, and we had already built out quite a bit of stuff on top of it. So there was a lot of movement and a lot of learning how to do tempo changes in Reaper. Why do they make it so fucking complicated? I mean, Cubase and Logic are simple.
You know,
tempo envelopes in Reaper just don't function. I don't know. It's just, they're just weird. They're different.
They're
different.
But once I started playing with the other envelopes for panning and volume and whatnot, then the tempo made sense. After I started playing with those, then I was like, okay.
I did figure out something yesterday in Reaper with tempo mapping that would have... And if anybody out there is using Reaper and you know more about Reaper than me and Kyle, amen. But I just figured out that doing tempo envelopes, wherever you put your cursor, if you change the tempo and just hit enter, it automatically puts a tempo change there.
That's a dumb moment.
Right?
Okay.
I figured that out last night while I was fucking with MIDI shit.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
We learn things out of necessity with Reaper. That's the way I've learned Reaper.
Yeah.
When I needed to figure out how to do something, I went and learned how to do it. And the fact of the matter is, we're coming up with more and more unique circumstances now that we're going through this, and we're going to run up against ones where we're like, shit, I know it can do it. I just don't know how it does it.
Yeah.
You know, and we got to go find out. That's all there is to it. But that's the great thing about Reaper is there's such community around it. It's pretty easy to find out anything.
The main Reaper forum is amazing.
It's fucking crazy.
I mean, they give you the link to exactly what you're looking for.
Well, the developers are in there answering questions
all
the time.
Yeah.
You know, half the time you throw a new question out there or something unique, one of the developers is the one that's going to answer you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, we also... In the process, we also officially decided that you're getting ready to wipe everything.
Fuck yes.
And so you're on 64-bit.
Yeah. You know, I hung on to 32-bit forever because my Waves plugins are 32-bit.
Mm-hmm.
And spending, $3,000-$4,000 to replace most of them, not even all of them, isn't in the books right now.
Right.
So...
The company
now,
needs to pay for that shit.
Well, yeah. Now that the bridge on Reaper from 64 bit down to 32 is seamless.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason not to.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to go reinstall. Well, actually, Easy Drummer 64 bits on there. Auto-Tune 64 bits already on there.
The Aria GPO 64
bits on there. Yes, I think.
So I can only run 32 bit on Mac.
Oh, really?
For the Aria. I don't have the 64 bit option.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And I downloaded them all at once. I mean, it's whatever. Just put them into a folder.
Don't know.
Yeah. Is that going to cause any problems going back and forth?
No, I'll just use 32-bit plug-in.
Because, I mean, I'm a Mac. Once I figured out my buffer rate and changing the sample rate a little bit, dude, it's seamless. I don't have nearly as much latency as you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was happy for that. But GPO is really pissing me off. Great program. Sounds amazing. Sounds fucking incredible. And so easy to use. But Jesus Christ, what do we have to do now? That's really time consuming.
Yeah.
Why won't Reaper's MIDI, if you go to the notation on an actual MIDI signal, then right click, go to notation, articulation, and put an accent on it. Why the fuck won't my cellos play an accent? It shows up on the sheet music.
Yeah, I don't know that answer.
It's driving me crazy.
I can't figure it out either.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is where we need to get our
listeners to help us.
Yeah. we need our doll nerds out there.
Any GPO5 users out there, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Just avid engineers.
Yeah, anybody. But
if
yeah,
you use a doll, me and Kyle at least have an hour a week to completely nerd out.
Yeah.
And who knows what you can learn from other people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We ought to see about trying to get a Reaper expert to join the
podcast. Ooh, that's
podcast.
A good idea. It's a fantastic idea.
I bet I can make that happen.
Yeah, let's make that happen.
We'll get a Reaper expert. We'll Skype him in.
Well, no, we're not using Skype. We've talked about this in a previous podcast, because when I was in Colorado, all I was doing was listening to podcasts about podcasts.
Okay, so what are we using?
And there are better programs. I don't know. I got to go back and listen to the podcast. I know what episode. It's on episode 3. And it was the podcaster was what it was.
Okay.
Yeah. They were like 15-minute episodes. And he only had guests that talked about podcasts.
Cool.
Yeah. It was really cool. Because they also incorporated a lot of like audio engineering aspect. Of it, like he had the basic questions that he would ask every guest that came on. You know, what's your setup? What do you use? What do you record on? Where are you going from here? And where did you start?
Right.
And that's the whole 15-minute episode, pretty much. But everybody was done remotely, and what most of the people wanted to use Skype, and he was like, "No, I'll send you a link." And he sent him a link, and there was never any problems whatsoever, and the audio quality was great.
Well, we'll do it that way.
Yeah.
Something I was giving some thought, and I don't know how you'd feel about this one, as far as podcast guest.
Sure. Let's do it. All right. Go.
Engineers from other local studios. I don't know. Yeah. That's a hard one to answer, isn't it?
I hope I don't offend anybody, but when I'm speaking, when I say something, and I'm an engineer. I'm an audio engineer, and I'm fucking good at what I do. Engineers are assholes, dude. I don't know.
I know specific ones that aren't assholes.
I'd like to talk to
Tony
Corelli. Yeah.
So
I want to talk to him about them fucking mics.
Yeah.
I love those, man. They're 90 degree SM58s.
57s.
57s,
yes.
The instrument, yeah.
Whatever. Tony, nice dude.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That would be cool.
I'd like to talk to Tony. There's another guy, Evan Kornblum, who used to run his own studio, and I talked to him about recording there a long time ago with my previous band. But it ended up not working out, but he's gone on. He was recording at Mobtown Studios for a while, and now he's at Stages Studios.
Yeah.
As one of their engineers. But he also is the one that did that series on YouTube, Secret Songwriter Sessions, where he brought in 5 musicians from different bands, like a drummer from this band, bass player from that band, singer from that band, guitarist from that band, trumpet player from that band, or whatever. Bring in 5 different musicians, throw them in a room together, mic everything up, say,
hit you've record got, and say go.
You've got, no, just said, you got 8 hours to write a song. We're going to write, record, mix, master a song in 8 hours.
It'd be awesome. Oh, I could totally get into something like that.
Yeah, so you got to watch some of those on YouTube. They're fantastic. Yeah. And when he gave up his own studio and went over to Mobtown, and then it's when the series kind of quit. I guess he's not doing it anymore. I would love to talk to him also about some way to continue that.
Yeah, I would definitely like to get involved with something like that.
But yeah, he's a super nice guy, too. He's also got a band now. I can't remember the name of it. I'll have to look that up. But, yeah, those two guys specifically. I don't know about anybody else in town. I don't know enough about anybody else in town to say whether I would or wouldn't. I just haven't heard of a bunch of other ones.
I think you're getting ready to start a whole bunch of out-of-town work. And we're wrapping up Life of the Funeral, kind of at the three-quarter stages with Mike Newberry stuff. So we wanted to get in here and do a podcast before all that started, so we have one in the bank. Because we still have one more podcast to release before this one.
Yes. I will literally be gone for a week, because I will leave on Monday. I come back Thursday night. I leave Friday morning to go to New York, and then I'm not back until Sunday night. I'm gone for an entire week. I will sleep here one night, but that's it.
We know who our next podcast guest is going to be. And I don't know if this is his real name or not. I feel bad that I don't, because I talk to him quite a bit, but Richard Dick.
Oh, yeah,
the drummer of Normandy Wood. Who is a fellow podcaster.
Yes, he had some other podcasts. I forget what all he said. He had a sports podcast and then something else.
A podcast about, it was anything. Like,
yeah, it was just kind of a nerding out podcast. Yeah. Yeah, no, I would love to.
He's a hell of a drummer.
He really is.
He's a really good pocket drummer.
He's a hard drummer.
He is a hard drummer.
But here's the thing. I don't even feel bad saying that right now as a criticism, because he said it to us before we said anything. Because he was talking about having to play.
He owns that shit, yeah.
Because he was talking about having to play soft at the...
At the Chesapeake Arts Center.
At the Chesapeake Arts Center. And he was like, but it's me, so I don't know how this is going to go out.
Story time.
Yeah.
That is cool, man. I want to go to the next one.
Yeah.
But then I feel bad because there's also the Start Something Showcase, Stan House.
Mm-hmm.
That same night. That's an open mic night one.
When? That's the 14th?
Yeah.
I'll be here.
But Tim Lockamy? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Isn't
Lockamy is on the 14th as well.
Isn't that the week you're...
No, that's the following week.
That's the following week?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's 22nd through the 20th, to the 30th.
Okay. Gotcha. I'll be here.
Which we should get them all on a podcast. Would we have to get their other, like, would Erica and Stacy have to, like, sign, and Danny have to like, sign a waiver for us to put their voices out there? Should our guests be doing that?
No. I don't think there's any kind of legal...
I mean, I guess talking to us for an hour is kind of consent.
Yeah. I don't think most podcasters do that. I've heard of podcasters say that they recorded one and then had somebody call them after recording and go, hey, I thought about some of the things I said. I really don't want you to put that out. And most of the time the podcasters just agree and say, okay.
Yeah.
Because they don't want it to turn into something where they have to go to court or anything like that.
Yeah, there was an episode that the guy talked about that as well.
Yeah.
On a podcast I was listening to.
So, yeah, I've heard of that.
Should really write them down so like we can, when we're spotting other podcasts and stuff like that, of people who are really good at their art form, then we could actually give the correct names.
Yes. But yeah, so no, I don't think we would have to get any waivers or anything.
Yeah. But so story time.
Yes.
Kevin Hock.
Yes.
He puts it together, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's his baby.
Well, you know more about it than I do.
Well, I mean, he does the
blurb.
Kevin's...
Because we want to do one.
Yeah, well, we definitely want to do one soon, actually. Kevin has been a promoter around town for a long time.
He's Transcendent Events, right?
Yeah, but also, I think Transcendent Events is his thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he also worked for, I don't know his work history. I don't know what his current status is, but I know he was with 24/7 Entertainment as well.
Okay.
So that's the branch of things that booked all the national acts.
Right.
And he would book local openers for them occasionally and whatnot. So he was putting on those and putting on, like, Brew at the Zoo and different things like that that would go through 24/7.
Yeah.
Transcendent has always been local event showcase kind of things. The stuff at Angel's Rock Bar mm-hmm. is all Transcendent. Storytime's Transcendent. He's done a couple of different Transcendent events, like themed nights where he has a bunch of local bands come and all play 80s covers.
Yeah.
Or, you know, different things like that.
Like Comic-Con type stuff.
Yeah, they do a couple different, like, dress-up themed kind of things yeah. and whatnot. He's a very successful promoter. I mean, his events do the best of anything in town, especially for local bands. I mean, with national acts, maybe there's some competition, but not a ton. And for local bands, there's really not a better way to go.
Right.
His events, he promotes. He's a promoter that actually promotes. Which takes some of the pressure off the artists, at least. I mean, you're obviously still going to be selling tickets and doing all of that, but knowing that there's going to be a certain amount of people that just come anyway, you know, that takes a lot of pressure off the artist because it's not a big venue.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what, maybe 150, 200 at most fit in that room?
In the Chesapeake?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I'd say probably 250. You could fit 250 in there. They don't have it set up that way.
Yeah.
They got it set up for like 100, 110.
Yeah. I tried to count seats last time I was there, and I got distracted and didn't finish.
Yeah.
I was over 100, and I still had a little section to go, so I don't know what, 120, 130 maybe.
Yeah, but something like that really, really suits exactly what we started. Like, that mm-hmm. is our prime spot. That's our prime. Our songs have stories. That's why they were written. It's the making of.
Yeah.
You know, everything was a, we definitely try and share the stories as much as possible.
Well, and in that format, we can still incorporate some electric guitar.
Yeah.
Just not a ton of it. It's got to be tastefully done. It can't be,
an article of adaptation. Yeah. I wish I could find it. I had a freaking article published a really long time ago, and now it's just non-existent. I wrote the article, and Joey Alonzo, my old bass player, edited it and did a wonderful job. I mean, it made me sound a lot smarter than I was. The idea was great. Joey made me sound like a fucking genius. But knowing when to adapt your music and your sound and your production quality for the venue.
Yep.
And I don't know. Some of the people that we've seen with Storytime, because this was the third one that we've been to. Or is it just the second one? I feel like it.
I guess it was the second one. Just the second Normandy one. Wood. Yeah.
Yeah. But they do a pretty good job of doing that.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised. Not too surprised, but I was happy with Normandy Wood's set.
Yeah.
I don't think there was anything from taking a band with so many parts.
Yeah.
And trying to condense it into a smaller space.
Yeah. No, I think they did a really good job of pulling off their sound in that setting. You know, because they're a band that uses backing tracks. I mean, there's no stigma against that. It's just that's what they do. So their sound live in most settings is really full. It's very, very full. So being able to get intimate in that space and have holes in their sound in a good way, seeing that they didn't try to fill all of them and they let the songs breathe was really good to hear.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I liked the way they adapted them
mm-hmm.
From that perspective. I was overall really happy with it. And we saw some other great bands, too.
Once again, we should have written them down so we can spot them because they really were.
Yeah.
What was the first girl? What was her name?
I can't remember. It was something and her band had a name.
Damn it.
I have to look it up.
We'll put comments down.
Yeah, we'll put comments in this.
But you should definitely check out the acts that we linked.
Yep.
Because she was really good. And I liked the interaction between her and her boyfriend, who was the guitarist. Yeah. It was really good and had a great sound.
Yeah, he was unique and had a really cool tone. He was ambient without being annoyingly ambient.
Agreed. The dynamic range between his channels, to me, was still a little too wide for that space.
It was.
I would have shrunk the dynamic range a little bit.
But you also even saw about blend. Two songs in, Soundman ran up there and turned down his amp on stage.
Yeah. But it turned everything down uniformly. The dynamic range was still there.
Yeah.
So, bad job, sound guy. You should have isolated the channel and turned down that channel, even if it was on his pedal.
Well, sound guys aren't always guitarists. They might not be that familiar.
I know. So that's just me being a critical. See, like I said, engineers are assholes. That's what we do. I don't care who you are. I don't care how nice you are. All you do is critique the shit out of other engineers.
Yeah.
I mean, we're judgy individuals. We're nice about it. Some of us are. I've met some that are just dicks.
I have too. I've been through that.
They're
once
usually
or twice.
Really good though. That's the problem. I said they're usually like really good though. That's the problem.
Yeah, you can't get cocky in this business till you proved yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm waiting for somebody like our one listener out there. I hope there's more of you. We're good at what we do.
Yeah.
Our one listener out there is just going to like fucking debunk all of my shit. Just be like, dude, you're wrong. Sorry.
Chris Lord Al is going to listen to this and be like, these guys are fucking idiots.
Right? Don't let them do a podcast again. Jesus.
Oh, man, how much time are we at?
That's awful. I think like 30 minutes. You can tell we're tired.
Yeah, we are tired. We could make this
a
shorty.
Short podcast.
We could make this a shorty.
With that. We've hit some good points.
Yeah.
We've grown. We've recorded. There is some great music coming at you.
We're exhausted.
I'm proud. I'm proud to put the Weatherly name on Life of the Funeral.
I am too. I am too.
Sounds good.
And those boys have been great to work with. I mean, seriously, I've enjoyed the process the entire way through. Even the stressful moments where there was like disagreement or you know, miscommunication or stuff, that's going to happen in a session. Even those, they were handled professionally. And that's the way it should be. That is not always the case.
Yeah.
You can have an artist, and the reverse, you can have an engineer that just scream at one another.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I mean, at that point, I'd just be like, okay, we're done recording you. I'm not going to begin a screaming match ever.
Like, this is my retirement. It's meant to make me happy.
Yeah. If you're not making me happy, get the fuck out.
Yeah. All right. So, what's next for us?
What's next for us?
I'm writing. Well,
yeah.
I'm done writing now.
Well, I'm starting to write.
Good.
I'm starting to write against
some
of your
stuff.
Yeah. I'm starting to write against some of your stuff.
That's good. Then I can take a break from that. Because that shit was stressful, man.
That and mixing Mike Newberry. That's all that's on my plate right now.
Writing lyrics based on a personal event and incorporating them into a song and then putting the song out there is fucking stressful.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, the thing,
it's taxing, man.
Well, here's
the
thing.
And now I'm listening to our album in a completely different fucking context. And now I'm just thinking about how I felt writing that song compared to how you felt writing some of the songs on The Making Of.
Like She's Been Seeing Me.
Like She's Been Seeing Me. And Faded Blue. And we'll stick with those for now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's taxing. I was pleasantly surprised.
What other ones? What other ones?
I don't know. That's just depressing, man. I don't want to fucking talk about it.
She's Been Seeing Me was...
And life.
But here's the way I'll put this to you. Yes, it's stressful knowing the person who is about is going to hear it.
Yeah.
In every other facet, it's therapeutic.
Yeah.
Because it's getting it out in front of you and away from you where you can look at it and get perspective on it.
Very much so.
So, not to get all psychology on you or anything or therapy, but for
psychological, dude,
for me, whatever, I'm tired. But for me, that is my sanity. That's the way when I have something overwhelming,
I always put
it
that
just
in
comes
melodies.
Out. Yeah.
You know, that's like I write my dead puppy music. Mm-hmm. That shit's great. I love it. Which is our next podcast is going to be about writing for podcasts. And we have a challenge.
We do have a challenge.
That's
I haven't sent
be
you a
very
song
enjoyable.
Yet.
So, we should announce the challenge. It's a cool challenge.
Yeah.
I want to hear what other people can do. Let's get a whole bunch going around.
Okay.
We'll just write each other people's shit.
So, what Chris and I are going to do is each of us are going to pick a book and read a chapter-ish.
Or a section.
A section of that book, a selection,
a nice
from the book.
A nice monologue from a book.
Yeah, somewhere between 8 and 15 minutes, somewhere in there.
Right.
And the challenge is for the other to write music behind it as if it were a podcast, and specifically like a dramatized podcast.
Wait a minute. Clarification.
Yes.
Clarification. Not write music. Put the backing audio to it.
Which sometimes can be music.
Yes.
Music is used for dramatic effect.
But it can also be other elements.
Yes, it can be. It can be samples in some instances.
Yeah. I mean, whatever it dictates.
Yeah, it's whatever it dictates. But that's what we're going to do. And we're... Because of the books that we've already told each other we're going to go about doing this with.
No, I changed mine.
You changed yours?
I totally changed
mine. Mine's still the exact same.
Yeah. All right.
You better study up some Foley noises because you got some work to do, son.
Nah, it'll be nice. It'll be a good challenge.
But, yeah.
And then we're going to do a podcast about it.
Yep. And we'll play them.
Talk about what we did.
We'll tag them on the end of the podcast once you hear them.
Well, there'll be mini episodes. They'll be released separately.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
Yeah, that will be cool. I can actually show you the book I'm going to do.
Yeah. We'll just record it and send it to me.
Okay. Still going to show it to you.
Probably.
The cover will give you good inspiration for what you need to do.
Well, I mean, your bookshelf is it's definitely very classic. All the
spines of the books
are, like, very nice looking.
Yeah, I like hardbacks. There was
it's a perfect diffuser.
Right? Yeah, it is. It's placed there to be a diffuser.
For those you sound nerds,
yeah.
Directly behind on the back wall of where we sit is this bookshelf with a ton of different sized books. I think we talked about this in an earlier episode.
Mm-hmm.
Are they randomly placed, or did you actually go through and, like,
move them? They're placed by series. Like, all the...
So
all
they're
of
not
my Christopher Moore
size for diffusion.
No. All of my Christopher Moore's down there, all my Tolkien's up top, along with my British Enid Blyton stuff, and then the second shelf is all just, it's classics. They're all, like, just classic literature.
Count of Monte Cristo, Dracula.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. So so those are all just crazy different sizes. And then the bottom's
shit,
all
great movies.
C.S. Lewis and Douglas Adams and Harry Potter stuff. So, yes, I'm a nerd.
Nerd. You've turned me into a nerd.
But anyway, all right, so that's the challenge. And if you have any books that you want to hear us try to do that over together,
yeah,
send us some suggestions or just record it and send it to us.
Or send the text to Mike Newberry and let him do it because Mike Newberry Media is a voiceover.
You know what?
Which he's in on this shit already.
I just changed my mind.
Yeah.
We're both going to pick a book that the other has to do. Mike has to read them.
Yeah, Mike, you hear that? I'm going to text you right after this.
Yes.
I got to go through the 50 million fucking texts because apparently we're playing together next week on Sunday. I don't know. We got together once. There's a list of songs. I mean, we already hit like 5 of them to where I'd play them out in public. I mean, they're covers. Fuck it. So I don't know. I got to catch up on that email thread because that shit was going. Or that text thread because that shit was going for a while earlier today.
Gotcha.
So, that'll be fun.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just want to
play
out.
I'll come out and see you guys.
Damn right you'll come out and see me. What the fuck?
I don't know. I tend to hermit on Sundays,
but
I'll
Mike's getting ready to get all of our tracks.
This Sunday or next Sunday?
I don't know. I'll let you know.
Just this Sunday, I'll be in New York.
I'll let you know. We'll put it on Facebook so people can see.
Yeah.
All
right, so Mike's reading them.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right. So, we want to thank a couple people at the end of these podcasts. We're going to record this into a more formal thing later.
Yeah.
But Kurt Mangan Strings.
It's got to sound cool, as cool as the intro.
It does.
The intro sounds awesome.
It does. But Kurt Mangan Strings, Pig Hog Cables, excellent companies that have taken very, very good care of us as we've...
Yeah.
Gone on this adventure of Weatherly.
Yeah. In multiple ways, with support and the quality of the product.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, well, and just some legitimization that comes with a company recognizing your talents and being able to say that we're Pig Hog artists and we're Kurt Mangan artists. I mean, that's, you know, some people might not understand the significance of that to somebody that's a musician, but to a musician, it's really cool.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, it
like
just is.
I like wearing my Pig Hog cable shirt.
Yeah. So
we have a couple more reviews for Pig Hog that we're getting ready to do.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be announcing those soon. Definitely.
Yep. Absolutely.
So.
All right, man. So that's it for this episode. Keep making music. Peace. I'm leaving all this in my life.